Now on to net investment hedges, and this is an interesting area. This is the sort of third area of FAS 133, and one that's probably the most complicated and difficult to kind of get your arms around. I'll talk about how things are typically done now, why, and then what's going to happen under the new standard. In this example, there's a U.S. company that owns a foreign sub, and under FAS 52, the net equity, book equity of the foreign sub, the foreign sub's consolidated onto the U.S. company's books. The net investment or net equity in the foreign sub gets marked, essentially marked to market for changes in the spot exchange rate, but through the cumulative translation account, which is a book equity concept. So basically book equity fluctuates with spot exchange rates due to the foreign sub. Now, what people do today is either issue debt in the same currency as the foreign sub, or as is more often the case, issue U.S. debt and then create synthetic foreign debt through a cross-currency swap. So in this example, the U.S. companies issued U.S. debt. Let's assume that they're doing this because they don't have a name that's well recognized in Europe and they can't access the European debt capital markets at an attractive cost. They enter into a cross-currency swap in which they receive the U.S. coupon, U.S. interest and principal flows on their debt, and make euro-denominated interest and principal payments on the swap. And the swap effectively cancels out the CTA fluctuations of the foreign currency sub-translation through CTA. Now under 133, everything changes. The net investment hedge is completely delinked from the debt. There's no more synthetic instrument accounting notion in this area as well. If you're fortunate enough to have access to the debt capital markets in the same currency as your foreign subsidiaries, then just simply issue foreign debt. That's the most efficient way. However, as is often the case, access is difficult or impossible to get. One of the clearest examples is in Australia. There's a lot of has been a lot of cross-border M&A activity into Australia. The Australian total corporate debt capital markets outstanding, or debt outstanding for corporate names, is $20 billion, in contrast to over $2 trillion in the U.S. So if you need to raise $1 billion Australian dollars, you are 5% of the market, and that will not ever happen. So we need to think about other things. Now, there was a recent dig issue that came out, I think it was the November meeting, although it could have been the October meeting, that said, yes, you can use a forward, a fixed-to-fixed cross-currency swap, or a floating-to-floating cross-currency swap to hedge net investment. And there was something of a great sigh of relief in the marketplace because prior to this release, if you asked certain audit firms, they would tell you fixed-to-fixed is the only thing that works. And if you asked other audit firms, they would tell you floating-to-floating is the only thing that works for different reasons. So at least we've got this cleared up. However, there's still an issue. In this fine print, they talk about the effectiveness testing that you have to do for net investment hedges. And what they do is say that, well, you have to compare the change in the fair value of your hedge to the change in fair value of a hypothetical forward contract. And then you have to think about how that hypothetical forward contract's change in value compares to CTA. If you think about how CTA changes, it's purely a function of spot exchange rates. There's no interest rate influence whatsoever. Now, of these three hedging choices, the closest to that is a floating-to-floating cross-currency swap. The value of a floating-to-floating cross-currency swap is a function only of spot exchange rates, plus a small amount of interest accruals. But you can basically think of a floating-to-floating cross-currency swap as issuing a U.S. dollar floater, LIBOR floater, and buying a foreign currency, I'm sorry, the other way around, buying a U.S. dollar floating rate note and issuing a euro-denominated floating rate note. What do we know about floating rate notes? They're always worth par. So these notes are each worth par in their own currency. The only thing that drives them is exchange rates. So that is the closest offset to CTA. Now, a hypothetical forward, what's that like? Well, that is, I get euros today and I pay them back in the future, or I pay dollars today and I get them back in the future. It's more like two zero coupon bonds going in opposite directions of each other. Now, what do we know about zeros? They're highly sensitive to interest rate changes. So there will be a great deal of noise between the hypothetical forward and any hedge except for a forward. Now, what do you do about coupon accruals on a fixed-to-fixed cross-currency swap? Do they count towards the change in the fair value? Same thing for a floating-to-floating. Do the coupon accruals count? Is there something akin to phantom interest on the hypothetical forward that counts, that flows through income, or that gets netted out? All this isn't clear yet. So right now, there are a few institutions, a few firms who've written letters to the FASB asking for clarification on this, and making alternate proposals. I think it's something worth considering. Yes? FASB